Welcome to the Sober Buddy Podcast, your boost of sober thinking and awesome life building. I'm Tara Zoe, CEO and co-founder here at Sober Buddy, and I am joined by Luke Zerotto, creator of the Marathon to Sobriety Instagram page. I am so excited to get into all of the things Luke is running around the city about. That was my little pun for the day. But first, remember, if you like what you hear on the podcast, you should subscribe to the Sober Buddy app because we're the people who created it. And do some challenges, get some motivation, share screenshots of your sober tracker, and tell Buddy how you are feeling today. Welcome to the show, Luke.
Thank you so much, Tara. So nice to meet you and share the screen with you today. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited. And where are you joining us from?
Toronto, Canada.
Toronto, Canada. Okay, so you're training for this marathon. Have you run a marathon yet, or is this your first one?
I've run two marathons.
Okay.
I qualified on my first marathon for the so I ran Boston Marathon in April of this year, which was pretty fun. And I'm also training right now for the Toronto Marathon, which is October 16th. So just about a month away.
Okay. Do you feel ready?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's a lot of training. Like at this point in the training, like the build is you're running a lot of miles. So I got about two more weeks of long runs and tough running. Okay. And then the taper starts and, you know, give the body a chance to recover before the race. So yeah, I'm super excited for that.
That is super exciting. So, and then you said that was in Toronto. This one.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing is in Toronto. Yeah, okay, the Waterfront Marathon.
So that's nice because then you don't have to travel.
Yeah, exactly. It's great because when we went to Boston, it's awesome. But, you know, things are expensive between flights and everything. So we decided to drive. So it's about a 9-hour drive.
So that's exhausting.
It's a lot. We went with my daughter who was, you know, 2.5 at the time. So my daughter, my wife and my mother-in-law, all four of us.
Oh, wow.
In our SUV in a 9-hour road trip, right? Good family bonding, right?
Oh, my God. It always sounds like a good idea. Like yeah, let's all exactly. go on a road trip. Sounds like a good idea. And it ends up being just a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun. We had fun. We made the best of it, I'll say.
That's awesome. And then how did you feel you did at the Boston Marathon?
Yeah, it was just like such an amazing experience being there. Like there's like millions of, I think there's like a million spectators. And because of COVID, it was the first time that they had the race with full capacity. So they had a race in 2021, but it was a much smaller field because of COVID. So it was the first time in about 3 years that it was like a full field. And there was just so much built up excitement.
Nice.
The energy and vibe in the city was electric. So just to be a part of that was like, wow, like this is pretty cool.
That
was a lot of fun.
I can only imagine that would be, do you feel like that helped you? Like, I feel like that would make me run better or like do better because you have that, just like the pump of the crowd.
It's incredible. And I know we'll touch on, you know, I'm sure a lot of things today, but the one thing too is the community, like the running community is so strong. And it doesn't matter how fast you are, how long you run, but just if you're like someone who puts their running shoes on and gets out the door, you have an instant bond and connection with another runner. So that's
amazing. Like,
it's amazing.
It's kind of like how motorcyclists, have you ever seen them? They have like that special sign that they do to each other.
It's like the mutual respect, right?
Yeah. I didn't know that existed. My mom told me about that. 'Cause she drives Harleys. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So there's a running community out there, everybody. If you're not a runner yet, there's a mutual respect.
It's a huge, huge community. And I love kind of connecting with people. Just like those single moments, like every runner, anyone who's run with me or, you know, maybe follows my account sees that I'm super like big on this kinds of thing. So every run I do, every time a runner is passing me, I don't care, like I said, how fast they're going, how long they're running, what they look like, I'm giving them a wave and an acknowledgement. And a lot of the times I'll actually say something, even though I have my music on, I can't hear, I'll say, you're looking strong. You're looking good.
Oh, cool.
And I feel like just taking that extra half a second to say one word. And having them acknowledge you, make that eye contact, like it just makes me feel amazing.
I love that. I love that like outpouring of yourself is building you. You know,
and it takes no effort, right, Tara? Like it literally takes no effort. Like I'm literally either just waving, making eye contact, or saying one or two words. It's not taking any energy, and just either like I'd say about 90% of the time I'm getting it back, and even if I don't, that's okay. Like there, you know. But it makes me feel really good. And it's something that I'm always talking about that others should do, because it just, it's so easy. It's just so easy to, to, you know, make someone feel good and inevitably make yourself feel good. Cause right, that's what it's all about. We all want to feel good, right?
For sure. For sure. We all want to feel good. And, and when you, did you start running like as part of your sober journey? Like how did that work? Were you running before you got sober?
So, I picked up running, 2.5 years into my sobriety.
Okay. Okay.
So I was sober 2.5 years and then I got into running.
Okay. And how'd that come about?
It really transformed my sobriety journey. Right.
Okay.
So much. Like I was always athletic. I played a lot of sports growing up, hockey, you know, soccer, loved to golf, ski, et cetera. I did a lot of sports, but I was never a long distance runner. Like if you were to ask me to run, you know, 2 miles straight, I mean, I could probably do a mile pretty good. And then I would like end up walking. Like I was never a distance runner. Mm-hmm. And then I got introduced, my best friend, he does Ironmans. He's like really hardcore into fitness and endurance sports. And he got me into it. And I did my first race. It was a 10K. It was on Mother's Day, 2019.
Okay.
And I did this race. It was like a 10K race. I trained a bit. I, you know, got into it a little bit. And then when I finished that, like having that race experience with the bib, it was my first time wearing a bib, you know, being in an environment where everyone's kind of like, you know, running, racing, and like just the crowds. And when I finished, I was like, wow, this was incredible. And
that's
awesome. Right from that moment, I was like, okay, well, like I want to continue running. So I signed up for a half marathon. And then that's when things really kind of came together and it became a passion of mine. Like it is, you can probably tell the way I'm talking about it. You know, all that extra time that I had in my sobriety, you know, it really, you know, having this thing just really helped me. I found my purpose a bit more, more clarity with my purpose and just running and, you know, the personal perseverance and the, you know, overcoming, you know, mental obstacles in the running experience, like it's you versus you. And I fell in love with it.
So do you feel like when you got sober, you know, there's all that time, it's kind of like a big undoing, right? Like you're undoing all the old stuff. So do you feel like the big shift with the running is that it kind of gave you a forward motion thing?
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I mean, literally 100%. And figuratively there.
Yeah, I know. Right. Yeah. absolutely. It did. And I find that like, as you know, running, and I know I'm talking a lot about running it, you don't need to be a runner to have a great sober journey or really, you know, forward movement with your sobriety. But for me, just speaking from my experience, because when you're, well, first of all, doing something active, physical, you know, just being outside is amazing. But the running component for me, it's really the mental aspect that running does. Like they're, you know, I'm sure you've heard the runner's high, right?
Right.
That is so, so true. That runner's high is incredible. And unlike, you know, the other highs that I was always chasing when I was drinking and using drugs, and I was always trying to feel good. That's what I was always doing. Trying to feel good, to be, you know, energetic, to be fun. That's what I was chasing. But like the runner's high, there's no crash.
Yeah.
There's no like, holy shit, I feel like shit now. Or like the next morning, like, what did I, you know, there's none of that.
And then you're also like feeling good about yourself. Cause you're not also regretful. You know, you've just done something amazing and it's got to build your sense of self incredibly.
Oh, incredibly, 100%. And it gives you, like, it's given me so much confidence too, right? It's like, yeah, I'm sober. Yeah, it's helped. It's done so much in my life personally, with my relationships, with my mindset, with my attitude, you know, with work. I'm so much better at work, all these things. But it's like running, you know, it's giving the opportunity to pause and really to think. And I find that when I'm running, I think a lot about things going on in my life. Mm-hmm. And it's a great opportunity for me to really actually like think about it without distractions, right?
Like, yeah, it's
when
like
I'm running, it's just you and your mind and just kind of going back and forth. And then when you finish your run, I mean, it's like the whole running experience, like, yeah, you have so many thoughts in your mind, like, I can't do this anymore, I want to stop, et cetera. But it's like, when you finish a race, or you finish a good workout, you just feel like, wow, like you feel so accomplished, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, I could go on and on about running and what it's done for me.
Everyone's sure going to start running now. Like everyone who's listening to the podcast right now is going to be like, I'm putting on some running shoes and hitting the pavement.
And like I said, right there, like I was not a runner. I got into running in 2019.
Yeah.
I mean, that's I really got into it.
Yeah.
I really got into it. And I don't want it to sound like I'm this freak athlete who just picked up running. No. I've never worked for anything so hard, honestly, between my sobriety and my running. These are two things that were utmost of importance in my life.
Right.
And with the running is like during COVID, because I got into 2019 in May, and 2020, right, COVID happened. So all these races were getting canceled. Everyone was like, oh, there's no races. So what I did is I did the opposite. I doubled down on my training.
Like you were thinking, I can like spend all this time training so that when they come back, I can be like, boom.
Exactly. So I got a running coach.
Oh, right? Wow. Nice.
It sounds complicated, but it's just a virtual coach who puts together like a training plan for me. So every run, I don't have to think about what I'm running, what I'm doing. I'm just executing my workout. So I doubled down. I got a running coach, and that really kept me accountable to my runs. And just my wife, you know, she's not a runner, but she's super, obviously super supportive. And she encourages me. I come home from a run. She's like, how was your run? What was your pace? Like, and she's been a part, you know, my daughter, I'm sure we'll touch on a bit.
Oh my, and we have to talk about the video of her 1K, because that was the cutest thing I've seen in so long. But go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, it's something that even though it's kind of like me running, it's like just the support I have from my wife, who's like, I'm so lucky to have that. And my daughter, I'm kind of introducing it to her. It's a family thing. Even though it's like Luke running, a lot of the times when I'm running my long runs, my wife's on her bike and we have my daughter in the Thule, which is like a chariot that attaches to the bike.
Yeah.
So it's like we're outside together. It's like a family thing.
That's really cool.
It's been the best. It's honestly been the best thing that I've done.
That's amazing. And so your account is Marathon to Sobriety.
Yeah.
So did you, when did you start that account? And like, when did you bring those together and start kind of advocating for all of that?
Yeah. So, I created the account in January. Of this year.
Oh, wow. Go you.
Yeah,
like, your account's like I said, amazing. I love it.
So I was sober for five years. So my 5 year mark anniversary was December 31st, 2022.
Okay.
Cause December 31st, 2016, I got sober. So, 5 years later, when I hit 5 years, I was like, that's kind of a big deal. Like I'm kind of proud of myself.
Yeah.
And up until that moment, I was really kind of like embarrassed about my sobriety.
So were you really like quiet about it?
Super quiet.
Okay.
Like I was super, super quiet. Nobody knew other than my close friends, obviously my family, and just people I felt needed to know knew. But like if I was out at a wedding, at a social event, at something, I was always making excuses why I wasn't drinking. I never would say, oh, by the way, I'm 4 years sober. By the way, I'm 2 years sober. By the way, I'm 6 months sober. I never said that because I was embarrassed. And a big part of that was that, you know, I didn't realize this whole sober community. I know we touched on it just before maybe we went live, but like the whole sober community and just having all of that was just, you know, amazing. So I was embarrassed. I never talked about it.
Yeah.
So when I hit 5 years, I was like, you know, Luke, be proud of yourself for a second here. That's pretty cool. So I was like, okay, shit. Like, you know, my Instagram account at the time was private. My Facebook was private. I was a pretty private person. So I decided that if I was going to kind of like share my story, right, I was going to do it big. And the only way I thought of was to do it on LinkedIn.
Okay.
So I work, you know, corporate tech sales job and, you know, I'm very much active on LinkedIn. I got whatever, I had 1,000+ followers on LinkedIn. But I was like, no, make this public. So I made a public post about my sobriety.
On
so
LinkedIn.
You didn't have to be my friend on LinkedIn.
Oh, wow. That's a big thing from going from being totally quiet to like, here's my corporate world, especially in sales.
Exactly. So people thought like, look, this is like career suicide. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? And I was like so back and forth about doing that. I didn't just think about it that day. It's like, I was kind of going back and forth.
Okay.
But anyways, I decided like, you know, screw it. Like this is who I am. So I posted it and didn't expect, you know, the next morning to just have it connect with so many people because a lot of people were reaching out. And then it was that moment that I kind of had an identity shift in the sense that I went from being kind of embarrassed about my sobriety to now proud of my sobriety. And it kind of happened like
overnight.
It kind of happened like overnight in a weird way. Not that I needed like validation from people to be like, hey, Luke, that's cool. But like just that I was proud that I was able to share and open up you know, so my sobriety is 100% now part of my identity. Like when I think of like, who's Luke and what am I all about? Like my sobriety is like probably at the top of that list.
Interesting.
It's who I am now. Right. And I'll do anything to protect that because it's my identity. When you have pride behind your identity, like you're going to fight for that identity.
For sure.
And so it's been since January. The name Marathon of Sobriety, my wife actually came up with it. It's like, sobriety is a marathon. Yeah, like take the running aside for a second here. Sobriety is a marathon. Sobriety is something that you're working on every single day. It's not like, hey, I've been sober X amount of days and look at me, I'm out of the woods. Absolutely not. That couldn't be further from the truth. It's something that you work on every day.
Yeah. Well, that I love your account because you do reels, like your reel game is on point here.
And I'm having fun with it at the end of the day. That's all I'm doing.
I actually think all these reels have, it's a really fun thing. I love that people can just publicly dance. You know, that's been for a while now, but like just anybody can dance on a video and it seems normal. Yeah. And if you see people walking down the street and they're filming themselves dancing, we just think it's normal. I love that. It's like we all live in a musical now. Yeah. But I touched on it a bit, but you just recently posted a video of your daughter running a 1K. Yeah. And I was like, this is the cutest thing. She was so happy, so proud of herself. And then her high-fiving you. I don't know if it was the same video, but you maybe that same day you posted where you ran your race and then she high-fived you when you were coming in.
It was the most special thing, honestly. So, yeah, I mean, like, yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I'm super proud of about my sobriety is that I got sober before my daughter was born. So my daughter is actually turning 3 years old tomorrow. So Friday, she's turning three. So she never knew like drunk Luke, never knew drunk daddy, like just didn't exist. And that is probably my most proud achievement. And every single time, you know, I'm struggling, I'm having a bad moment or a bad day, I just think about my daughter and I look at my daughter and I'm just knowing that she doesn't have to worry about daddy not showing up or daddy, you know, whatever. It just gives me a lot of pride. So like talking about my daughter and the running, like what also makes me smile and just be so proud is that, you know, going to Boston with her and that whole experience, like that was, I'm sure, so much to take in. But one of the things she kept saying was, my daddy runs Boston. My daddy's a runner. And she literally says this to strangers. Like she literally just tosses that. And it's like, I'm thinking about that. It's like, yeah, that's cool that she says that he's a runner. But it's like, what's the alternative that she could have said if I was a drinking father? My daddy's on the couch. My daddy's sleeping. My daddy fight. My daddy and mommy talking loud. I don't know. Just different things that, you know, she could have said. But instead, it's like, daddy's running. Daddy's a runner. Like, you know, she's going to be three. Like, it's still like figuring things out.
But it's like talk about a dramatic shift. It's like two parallel lives. You're right. It could have been so different.
100%. And, you know, bringing her, there was a race in Toronto at Centre Island, which was like a family race. So they had, you know, races for kids between, I think it was 3 and 6. And it was a 1K. It was like a fun run. And then there was one for 6 to 8, 10 year olds, and it's 1 mile, and these kids were pretty
competitive. I would imagine they're competitive.
There's so many
competitive at that age too.
Kids were just so incredible. But like having her a part of that, like wearing the bib, being with, you know, my wife was there, and just being with myself, like it was just such a fun thing, and it's like such a memory that I think I'll have.
And it's like really setting a foundation of health and wellness and like just positivity in your daughter and in your family.
Yeah, exactly. So you're like, look, I mean, just because, you know, I've been sober now for a while and I enjoy talking about it, Tara, like sure you can tell I'm super passionate about this. This has become like a passion project for me because I know the impact it's had on my life.
Yeah.
And I want to share that with people. But at the same time, it's like, I'm not perfect at all. Like just like, it's almost like this image that social media is. It's like you decide what's shown. So it's like everything that's shown is like this perfect version of myself, right? Like, look at me. I'm this father running with his daughter. Wow. Look at that. Like, but like, I'm not perfect by any stretch of the means. You know, my wife and I, we still have our arguments, you know, like I still don't do laundry. Like I'm not very tidy. Like just because I'm sober.
All right, tell us all the rest. You're not tidy. Yeah, you don't do laundry. Right? You argue with your wife.
Right. So
what vegetable do you refuse to eat? No.
So, you know, it's like, and that's something I want to make clear because I'm sure that can get a bit lost in this whole social media world where it's like you're only seeing the best, but it's like, you know, at the end of the day, I just know that I'm better than I used to be by a mile, right? I'm way better.
By 26
right?
miles.
Like, yeah, 26 miles, 26.2. Like I'm better than I was.
Yeah.
And if I didn't make those tough decisions and really kind of look at myself in the mirror, because, you know, we haven't talked really about that. We've talked about like since my sobriety, but like I really, really struggled, Tara. Like I really, really struggled, not only in my sobriety, right? Big time I struggled, but like before I got sober, like I was a completely different person. And the trajectory that I was on, like the trajectory that I was on, it just was not ending well. It was,
right.
was not ending well. So, you know, I'm really thankful that I made those tough decisions, but it was not pretty. It wasn't pretty.
You know, what's interesting is, you know, I've interviewed a ton of people about their sobriety. And then in general, as a life coach and just everything that I've done with my stuff is I talk to people a lot about their stories and their life and how they're feeling. And different people need to focus on different things. Some people need to focus on really exposing their vulnerability and all their pain points. And some people, it really feeds them to focus on all of the achievements that they're accomplishing and all their growth. And you're feeling this genuine joy and this genuine proud feeling. And there's also this thing that we feel like we need to like almost apologize for just like genuinely being happy.
Yeah.
And you seem like you're doing so well. And of course you struggle. Everybody struggles. There's no point in life where you don't struggle. But I think the thing that I love about, your space right now is how happy and like and energized and excited you are about what you're doing.
I think
that's huge. And I think that that's an energy people can feed off of. You know,
Thank you.
When I watch your Instagram, it doesn't feel like there's like fake Instagram, right? Where like people are like, they've edited everything and they're, and it doesn't feel real. And it feels like it's, it, that to me feels actually really boring. To watch that kind of stuff. But when I like look at your Instagram, I just feel like I can feel how excited you are about running. I can feel how like excited you are about life. Like this is like amazing. Look what I'm doing. And I think that's awesome. And so I don't think you have to apologize for it is what I was saying.
So, I mean, so thank you so much for saying that. I mean, that really, that means a lot. And yeah, it's like, you know, the that sober energy that we have in sobriety, and like when you've really put the work in and you focus on your healing and understanding the whys, you know, why did I drink so much? Why did I use so much? All these things. And when you put the work in, like it sucks. Like, let's be honest. I hated it. It made me feel really bad. I you know, thinking back and just, you know, talking to my therapist about all the things that I did and all the regrets that I had and all those tough moments. I mean, I think a big part of why I've been able to come out on top and I have this, you know, this energy just about life is that I've really come to forgive myself. Like everything that's happened in my life, although I, you know, there's a lot of things I didn't do right. There's a lot of things I regret, a lot of people I mistreated, a lot of people I disappointed. But at the end of the day, I feel like everything needed to happen for me to get to this point.
Right.
So that was a huge thing, that forgiveness. And that, again, that kind of happened around the time that I started talking about my sobriety, because up until then I was so embarrassed. I never brought it up. So that was so big for me. Like generally, like, you know, Luke, it's okay. Like I forgive you. Like I forgive myself.
Yeah. That's huge. And having to face that. Yeah.
Right. So,
and the more we tell our stories, the more shame is released. You know, there's a lot, like Brené Brown talks a ton about like how shame can only survive in secret.
So, oh my God.
You know, 100%. If you expose it, then it can't survive. It can't survive.
So, I'll share with you here. So like when I first, you know, started talking about it, you know, 6 months, I like, I also had a drug problem. So, mm-hmm. you know, I was so like, think of the stigma with alcohol and then toss in like drug use, right? Mm-hmm. So I decided, I was talking to my wife and she's like, Luke, yeah, I mean, this is exactly like, this is a big problem for you. Like if you're telling your story, you don't have to do anything, but if it felt right, I was ready. So I started like talking a little bit about my cocaine kind of use. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like, I never like with my drinking, I never drank alone. I never craved alcohol, but when I would start drinking, like watch out. Like if I had one or two beers, like
you couldn't moderate,
like, off the rails, I would go, right? So I felt really liberated and really free when I started talking about it. Like a lot of my friends didn't know about this because they didn't see that side of me, right?
Yeah.
So it was like, it felt really good. But like the one thing that was always on the back of my mind was that, you know, my mom and I like we're really close, and she, you know, I'm her eldest son and I have another brother 3 years younger, but like my mom, you know, she follows me on Instagram, and I was like, here I am talking about the drug use. And I was like, I need to call my mom. And that, like that whole experience, like just having the balls to one day call her out of the blue and just be like, hey mom, you know, I know you're proud of me for sharing my story and doing all these things. She's always bragging to her friends. I was like, you know, there's something that you don't know about me. And I shared about that. Like I struggled with cocaine and drug use. And I was so worried about what my mom would say. I know that probably sounds ridiculous.
No, I totally understand.
I'm 38 years old.
It like, never goes away.
I'm very independent. Like, you know, but it's like just my mom. I was like, just having that conversation with her. And just getting her to like say like, you know, Luke, it's okay.
And how did she take it? Did she take it well? I mean,
she did take it well, but I could just sense, I don't know. She took it well, but at the end of the day, that's not really my problem. My problem is that I just got it out and that was in my head.
Right.
So it's like, maybe she didn't react exactly the way I would have hoped, or maybe how I would have reacted to my daughter. She said something like that, but that's okay. Like I've come to the point, it's like, that's not what matters. What matters is that I did what was important to me. It was clearly weighing on me.
Yeah.
So I talked about it and she obviously said, hey, Luke, like, I'm proud of you for telling me, thank you for telling me, like, I'm still proud of you. Like it doesn't change anything. So that experience was so like, I needed that.
Yeah.
It just really was a like kind of the last thing that was kind of on my mind, and just I'm so happy I did it.
And when did you do that?
I did that, I think it was like 2 months ago.
Oh wow. So that's really recent.
Really recent, right?
So you feel like do you feel like those little dark caves are all have light in them now?
100%.
Nice.
Like 100%. You know, it's like there's no one else that you know, the shame and guilt and all these things, like I said, I've forgiven myself, and those that are closest to me, you know, they I've had such amazing support. So it's like, I'm on this mission, like you and the sober buddy community and just the sober community. I'm on this like mission that I'm incredibly passionate about, because I know that the change and the impact that it can have on your life, anyone who's listening, you know, who's either, you know, early in their sober days, sober curious, or just leaning in and trying to listen in. I mean, God, what can I say? It's been the absolute best thing I've ever done for myself. There's no way I would be where I am today, just mentally, if I could continue drinking. Because I was like one of those, you know, people that thought like I could moderate my drinking. I told myself that for years. Like, I don't know how many mornings I woke up and said, I'm never drinking again. Or like, I would go like 2-3 weeks a month after a big night and be like, no, I'm taking a break, I'm chilling. But then as soon as that social event came up, or that as soon as that party came up and there's alcohol there, I would have like a drink or two. And then it's just like, I just never knew what drunk version of myself would come out.
Right.
And then you mix that with the later years of drinking with cocaine. And it's like, I started using cocaine with drinking, and I was just a completely different person. I would disappear. And it just wasn't pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now that you've really, you know, like we talked about, you set a new pathway, right? You have these like parallel ideas, like I could have been this kind of dad and now I'm this kind of dad. And so like, what is like, if you could say, I want my daughter to have kind of like one core belief about herself or the world, and that's what I want to instill. What do you think that is?
That's such a good question, Tara.
Have you analyzed this? I did not prepare you.
I really like this question. It's like, I would say I would want her to believe that one, you can achieve anything you want, but it's like the biggest obstacle that you need to overcome is within yourself. I know that sounds maybe a little preachy, but it's like this whole sobriety journey and this everything that I've kind of gone through, it's really started in my mind. Like the moment that I kind of looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, you've fucked up enough. Like this is it. Like you need to clean yourself up. Like as soon as I kind of convinced myself that I was going to do something and I put the work into it, you know, with the right plan, the right coaching, the right support, and that will to want to, you can do anything you want. So it's like, I put so much effort into my sobriety. I put so much effort into my running, and both I'm doing very, very well at.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, what other areas of my life can I put my, you know, that same energy, that same dedication to, and what other areas of my life could I improve on? So that'd be my message to my daughter. Like anything that you think you can do, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. So like it's that mindset is the most important thing.
That's incredible. I think that that's a really big thing. And that's a thing that we see a lot in sobriety is that because it's so hard to do, you know, it, when you do it, you build this incredible amount of personal belief. Like all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I can conquer mountains, you know? I can run a marathon. You know, all these different things. And it's like makes you, gives you kind of a superpower in that sense of, you know, you can do hard things and you know, you can get through stuff. And so like, if someone's going through this right now, what was like a big thing that helped you? Like, what mindset or what tools did you use when you were in the really difficult parts of getting sober to get through it?
So I would say, you know, a huge part of it, and I know I've made some posts about it recently, is just really knowing your why. It's like knowing why you're making these changes. You know, when like the drinking gets tough, like there's still moments, I'm not going to lie, where I'm walking on the street on a nice summer day in Toronto, the patio. And I always say, you know, Luke, like you can have a drink. You've gone, you know, almost 6 years without drinking. You know, but what do I have to lose? Like what's the downside? What's the upside of having a beer? Like, so when I think about my why, it's you know, my daughter, my family, my mindset, my health. I can't think of a reason that I would drink. And you know, maybe something I wish I would have done differently. Like, I'm leaning in now, but I didn't before, was the whole sober community.
Yeah.
The Instagram account, the amazing people that I've met that are so supportive. You know, either through different podcasts, like your podcast, leaning in, listening in. Cause I think the biggest thing for me personally was that I didn't want to feel like I was alone. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't want to feel like I was alone, and just being able to connect with other people, mm-hmm. hearing their stories, mm-hmm. it helped me so, so much. And that would be my advice to anybody who's kind of starting off.
Is get involved.
Is get involved, is lean in, right? Yeah. Lean in. And ask questions and listen. You don't need to talk a lot. You can listen.
Yeah.
And then finding that right kind of forum, you know, group therapy, I was a huge, huge fan of. I know Megan does a lot of group
sessions.
She does groups,
yeah.
I think that's amazing. That's something that I think I want to do too. I want to start, you know, giving men a voice to share. Because there's another thing with men too. It's like, you know, I'm Italian. I'm half Italian, right? And half French Canadian. Mm-hmm. So my father... he struggled a lot with alcohol, and it was kind of that old school Italian, like you don't talk about your feelings, you don't talk about things. So mm-hmm. I just think like leaning in and listening for a good chunk. When you're ready, either that's through like individual therapy, or that's group therapy, or just, you know, different, you know, things that are available online. It feels good to talk about it and kind of get it off your chest a bit.
And sometimes that takes a while. Yeah, it takes a while. I love how you're saying you can listen, especially with kind of all these virtual things going on. I know like people, the cool thing about like a Zoom meeting is that you can turn off your screen, you know, and you can listen.
Exactly.
And you can listen and listen until that becomes something that's comfortable for you. It's still helping you. And so it's like, just like, listen, start to hear a different perspective, start to hear just different ideas. You'll probably learn so much that will help you in your regular, you know, on your own, in your personal life. And so I love that permission to just say, I'm just going to listen. I'm going to intentionally just listen and not say anything. And that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. And exactly. That's so important. That's so important. You don't need to be like a, like so loud with your sobriety. You don't need to kind of be like, you know, sharing your story to have healing and to be able to, you know, connect well and just go through the process. But you're right. You know, listening in to other people and finding the time to talk through what you're going through, because you're going to connect with other people. That's what I love about the sober community. It's like, it doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter, you know, what you do for a living, doesn't matter any of your backgrounds. We have that mutual connection and bond it's special.
It really is.
It's so special. And like when you're connecting with these people, it helps make you feel good because you're a part of something and people have your back and there's no shame. No one's looking at you like, why did you do that? I can't believe you did. Like there's so much forgiveness and openness. I'll give you an example. Today I got a haircut, right? I was on the way to get my
Looks
haircut.
Nice.
I
there
saw
you go.
This car that had this license plate. It says, do not. Okay. And then I had a picture of a glass, or I had a, like, I've never seen this on a license plate. I had a, like a martini glass with a circle and like a line through it. So like, do not drink, or do not drink and drive, something along those lines.
Yeah.
So my wife was actually driving and I said, Lisa, like, we need to like pull up next. So we took the picture.
Your wife's a trooper, by the way.
Right?
She's so on board with everything. I love your wife.
Oh,
I don't know her.
She's my biggest fan. So she's driving and I was like, hey, Lisa, like we took the picture behind the stoplight. And then she's like, now we got to like get their attention because I want to ask them about this. So we pulled up at a light and like they were a little bit ahead. So it was kind of an awkward thing, you know, honk the horn, go down. And I was like, I love your license plate. Like,
yeah.
Right. And she's like, yeah, thanks. She's like, I've been sober 31 years and I was like, I've been sober, you know, coming on 6 years. So we had that moment where we're both in our cars going our own different directions, but we just looked at each other. I gave her a thumbs up. She gave me a thumbs up. Like we had that bond.
It's like a bond
right now. It's like that connection, that bond. And like, that's what's like, so like, she's not ashamed of her sobriety. She's proud of it. She has that thing on her license plate.
Yeah.
We know I'm not ashamed of it. So it's like, we had that connection and that made me feel again, going back to the darker days and the days that aren't so positive and the days when life happens, I think about those connections and those people that, you know, have paved the way for us. She's been sober over 30 years. Like, can you imagine being sober, you know, 30 years ago, how society would have been then? Like now you go and it's like, it's so much more open. I mean, like,
yeah, it's becoming very cool.
It is.
It's cool to be sober now.
It's becoming very cool. But it's like, to think about it like that in like 30 years ago, right?
I know.
Like, totally different world. So
I know when we go through things and we see like maybe some things our parents went through, and then you think, oh, and they didn't even have like, this is the most difficult thing I've ever done. And I have support. And I'm like, they didn't have support going through that. Or, and I always think, oh my God, that it's just crazy. So definitely a good time to be getting sober. Like you were talking about, you wish you had gotten involved in sober Instagram and stuff earlier, but really 5 years ago, there wasn't as big of a presence.
Yeah.
It's really boomed in the last couple of years. Just
I buy that.
It's become a whole thing. And I love that. I love that we're having different kinds of conversations about sobriety too. There's a lot of the same conversations as well that just weren't exposed. They're being way more exposed now. But we're also having other kinds of conversations like the informed choice and that there's a whole spectrum of addiction and it's not just crisis, you know, it's all over across the board and you can choose sobriety in any place. You could choose sobriety if you've never had a drink.
Right.
You can just choose to not ever have a drink.
That's it.
You can just choose that positively for your life.
Exactly. You don't need to be an alcoholic or somebody on the side of the street, you know, who's homeless to know you have a problem with alcohol. Right.
Like
I always had a job. I always had a job. I've always had, like from the outside, I always looked like I had it together. Like, I would get pretty messed up, but like Monday morning, I was always showing up to work. I mean, probably not my best, but I managed to carry, you know, a good job and be functioning. But then like the weekends would come And that was it. So it's like, you don't need to hit rock bottom. You don't need to have these traumatic life experiences, near death experiences, to know that, hey, you know, maybe I have a, you know, maybe, well, what I like to say is, maybe I have an allergy to alcohol, right? Like, I have an allergy. So it's like, if I was allergic to peanut butter, would I dabble on peanut butter? Like, you know what? I'm going to put a little bit of peanut butter on my toast today, because I know I'm allergic, but I'm going to have a little bit. No.
Yeah, no.
I'm allergic to peanut butter. I don't want to die. Like, I don't want to get allergic and need my EpiPen.
Yeah.
Like, the same thing I view alcohol. It's like, I'm allergic to alcohol, Luke. Like, I've gotten that ingrained in my head. So it's like, why would I have one drink? I'm allergic to alcohol. Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm going to die. Yeah. I will have an anaphylactic. I'll go into anaphylactic shock. Yeah. It's definitely, I like that, that perspective that I'm allergic to it. And like, because you're right. You don't even have a little bit if you're allergic to something. You know, you don't even want food that's touched it, you know, like.
Exactly.
You're creating space between you and the thing you're allergic to.
Right. It's like, yeah, you can't have any peanut butter in the house because I'm allergic to peanut butter. So why is there alcohol in the house? Like, why is there, you know, but like, that's a whole other story, because my wife, she drinks.
Okay.
But she doesn't have a problem with alcohol. Like, she's not allergic to alcohol.
Yeah.
So why can't she drink? Right.
I like that, because it's saying, like, I really like this actually, when you're saying my wife's not allergic, I'm allergic. It makes you feel different about it.
Exactly. So, you know, my wife's like, she's not a big drinker. She's not drinking daily, but like, when we go to weddings, we go to parties, like, she's definitely drinking.
Right.
And actually, she reminds me a lot of me when I'm completely different, but she can get the party going. Like, she's got a lot of energy too.
Yeah.
She has a couple glasses of wine. She's a lot of fun, right?
Right.
But she can stop. But then she shuts it.
Yeah. That? But she can stop. She can say two glasses.
Yeah, exactly. She can shut it down. Okay, time to go home. It's time to whatever, and go home and be fine. Whereas, like, I don't have that. I don't have that capability. I don't have that. So it's like, it's totally two different things. So I've never said to her, hey, Lisa, like, I'm sober, you know, like, you shouldn't drink. Like, I've never had that conversation with her, mm-hmm. because she's been, you know, she understands what I'm going through, but like, she doesn't have a problem with all. So I don't want her to completely change because of me.
Right.
But, you know, so that's made a difference for sure.
But I really like, I keep going back to this, but I really like that. Like you just saying to yourself, well, I'm allergic to alcohol. She's not, because then it doesn't, you don't get that kind of, it puts a line between it. Like, well, she's okay, so I should be okay. You know, like, it could pull you in. And if you have that line and that differentiation, then it kind of keeps that line there, you know, that, nope, I'm allergic, you know? So
yeah.
I feel that. I have so many allergies. Yeah. I feel that. Everybody can eat all the good things. I can't eat anything. So, well, I think this has been an incredible conversation. I feel like I have so many little nuggets from you. We just can like make little quotes from Luke over here. Yeah. Allergic to alcohol. What were the other things? Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to pull them out. We're going to edit them. Yeah. We're going to pull them out.
Okay.
Well, I thank you for coming on, everybody. I'm going to put links to his Instagram. Is there anything else that you're doing right now that you want to kind of talk about and tell everybody about?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, it's, like I said, it's a passion project. I'm so all in. I love, you know, the messages that I'm receiving from people, you know, that knowing I'm making a difference, it makes it all worth it. And at the same time, it's like, yeah, I love those messages. But for me, what it's done for my own struggles and my own sobriety, since I've been so open, it's helped me a ton. It's made me way more accountable.
Yeah.
You know, I've had an identity shift, all these great things. So it's all come full circle. And, you know, things are, I feel like, meant to be the way they are, but that doesn't mean that I'm out of the woods, right?
Right.
Doesn't mean,
right.
So, but it's
definitely helping.
It's a marathon.
Yeah.
It's a marathon.
It is a marathon.
It's like, it's a marathon. Marathons are hard and they're long, and you pace yourself. You don't go all out at the beginning. So it's like, that's how I am with my sobriety too.
Yeah, for sure. And you guys, just so you know, it is marathon, the number 2, sobriety. I will link that in the show notes, and you guys definitely have to go follow him. He has a It's a great sober account. He has amazing reels that he does, gives little pieces of advice. I think it's a really solid sobriety account that you guys can follow. And make sure you're following this Sober Buddy, Sober Sisters, Sober Motivation, all the Sober Buddy team. And we just want to let you know that you have got this. You just take it one day, one moment at a time. Your life can be better than it was before or ever has been before. Look at Luke. He has an amazing example of that. And you can do this. Thanks for coming on the show, Luke.
I'm so happy. Thank you so much for having me.